1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A jury has awarded columnist E. Jean Carroll over $83 million in her defamation case against former President Trump. ABC legal contributor Kim Whaley says that Trump continued defaming Carroll even as the case proceeded.
He just continues to do that. That's the punitive part, punishing him for continuing to flout the prior jury's verdict, the judicial system, and frankly, Ms. Carroll's legal rights in this moment.
Mr. Trump is appealing Friday's judgment. Multiple sources familiar with negotiations on the emerging Senate border deal confirm that the soon-to-be-released bill will give the Department of Homeland Security the authority to shut down the border if migration numbers surge over a certain quantity. A local state of emergency in Wilmington, Illinois, with parts of the city evacuated due to rapidly rising river levels occurring from the melting ice jams that formed earlier this week. This is ABC News. Turkey wants to buy U.S. fighter jets.
The State Department has notified Congress that it intends to sell F-16 warplanes to Turkey after using the fighter jets as leverage to ensure the NATO ally would approve Sweden's bid to join the alliance, according to a U.S. official. Congress still needs to approve the sale, and one last NATO holdout, Hungary, still stands between Sweden and its accession to the alliance. Shannon Crawford, ABC News, Washington.
A wrestling icon stepping down after a sexual misconduct lawsuit.
Vince McMahon resigning from the WWE's parent company one day after a former employee filed a federal lawsuit against him and another former executive alleging serious sexual misconduct, including that she was offered to a star wrestler for sex. McMahon stepping down from his position as executive chairman of TKO Group Holdings, the parent company of WWE. Despite his resignation, McMahon has denied wrongdoing. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
And I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10 on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start, and it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org, a message from AARP and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wisconsin's Chippewa Valley is reeling from the news that two big hospitals and several clinics are closing this spring. As Mike Moan reports, it will hurt older people who need long rides to get to health care.
Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls are among the many areas served by the new Freedom Transportation Program from the Center for Independent Living. People with disabilities, frail elders, and veterans are given rides to the doctor, grocery store, and for other basic needs. Program Director Bobby Hegna says the roster of volunteer drivers has had difficulty recovering from the pandemic.
We have some counties that there are no drivers in, and so we're constantly recruiting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
The closures also include some primary and specialty care locations. Hegna says one of the effects is that many patients will have their appointments on the same day at other providers, putting more pressure on existing drivers. Jim Flaherty with AARP Wisconsin says there's real concern having fewer providers will impact older residents in rural areas, which have aging populations. He says closing gaps will require community involvement. Flaherty adds telehealth is a good option and infrastructure needs to catch up.
Wisconsin has a great need for stronger, high-speed broadband service. It's got to be affordable and it's got to be accessible.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers and the Republican-led legislature have been at odds over how much state money to commit to current broadband efforts, with more federal support coming in. As for the closures, Hospital Sisters Health System says they'll likely happen over the spring and that it's trying to safely wind down services as it transitions patient care to other providers. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some drizzle or fog today. We'll see a high near 38 for tonight, a low near 31 under mostly cloudy skies. On Sunday, mostly cloudy and highs around 35. 36 with partly sunny skies for Monday. Chance of rain and snow on your Tuesday with a high near 36. Currently 33 degrees.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And, you know, they're not going to give the governor the entire day to himself. There are measures about abortion and about tax cuts and about maps that were discussed today. And we are now going to take it to the assembly chamber in the Wisconsin State Capitol as the governor makes his way up to the dais.
At this time, I introduce to you the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, the Honorable Tony Evers.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. No, I didn't see. I asked one of the four legislators that were coming down with me to one of them to do a somersault. Did anybody do that? No? Darn it. Next year. Anyway, good evening, Wisconsinites, honorable Supreme Court justices, tribal nation leaders, constitutional officers, members of the Wisconsin National Guard, and active and retired members of our armed forces, cabinet members, Senate President Kapenga, Majority Leader Lemieux, Minority Leader Hesselbein, Speaker Voss, and Minority Leader Neubauer. Legislators, distinguished guests, and Wisconsinites joining us here and from afar, thank you for being here with us tonight. I'm Tony Evers, and I'm proud to be here tonight as the 46th governor of the great state of Wisconsin to deliver my 2024 State of the State Address. My daughter Katie and my grandson Keaton are here with us tonight. And if you'll bear with me for a minute, I'd like to give a special shout out to my better half, Kathy, who's here as well. Kathy was named a 2023 Caregiver Hero by Lutheran Social Services, which is awarded in honor of our good friend, Governor, former Governor Marty Schreiber. Kathy was recognized for her advocacy around Alzheimer's and other dementias, including making the executive residence a dementia-friendly location. Kathleen Francis, I'm so proud of you. I love you so much. Thank you. Wisconsin, it's been one heck of a year, and I have much to report. When I delivered my 2023 State of the State address a year ago, we are kicking off Wisconsin's 175th birthday and celebrating 175 years of statehood. Wisconsin has never been in a better fiscal position. Wisconsin, I begin tonight with even better news. As we enter 2024, our state has never been in a better fiscal position than we are today. Better than last year, better than when I took office, and better than any year in Wisconsin, 176 years of statehood. We began this biennium in the best fiscal position in our state's history. We set out to prepare a breakthrough budget, a rare opportunity to define our posterity. And together we did. We needed to take responsibilities for some of our state's most important obligations, but we still couldn't afford to be careless or reckless. We needed to make investments and priorities long neglected, but we still had to save where we could. We needed to stay prudent and well within our means while still marching towards the future. We're working hard to build together. Our bipartisan efforts on housing are a good example. I completed my fourth 72-county tour of Wisconsin this past December. I've been to every county at least four times and sometimes many more. And no matter who I'm talking to or where I go, our largest communities or our smallest towns and villages, Wisconsinites tell me we need more affordable housing, and I agree. Building affordable housing in every corner of our state is critical to make sure that Wisconsin is prepared to meet the needs of a 21st century workforce in a 21st century economy. Since I took office, we've invested in building nearly 15,000 affordable housing units, nearly 2,500 last year alone, and more than 24,000 housing units total. And we're not stopping there. This past year, we worked together to invest more than $500 million in workforce housing, one of the largest investments in our state's history. We're working every day to make sure our workforce, economy, and infrastructure are ready to meet the needs of the 21st century. Part of that is making sure kids, families, workers, farmers, and manufacturers have the infrastructure they need to get from point A to point B safely. When I took office, years of disinvestment had caused our roads and our bridges to crumble in disrepair. So, you're darn right, we've been fixing the damn roads. All you got to do is find those orange barrels. Since 2019, we've improved over 7,424 miles of roads and 1,780 bridges, including over 900 miles of roads and over 200 bridges last year alone. We've also worked with our Minnesota and federal partners to secure over $1 billion in federal funding to support our effort to replace the Blodnik Bridge in Superior. It's a critical economic driver for our state and supports our largest port on the Great Lakes. And I'll tell you this got done, you bet. And I tell you this, we got this done because there's no one who's been fighting harder in Washington to bring this investment back home than Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin. When I was here 4 years ago, I announced a three-pronged plan to address our state's dairy crisis. I later proudly signed a bipartisan bill creating the Wisconsin Initiative for Agricultural Exports. We're working to meet our ambitious goal of increasing the value of Wisconsin's agricultural exports by at least 25% by mid-2026. So we worked together last year to invest $2 million to help promote Wisconsin's milk and dairy, meat, crop, and other products around the world. I'm also proud that our administration worked with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission and the Menominee and Lac-Courtier Tribal Nations last year on a new effort to preserve and restore wild rice in Wisconsin. Wild rice has been harvested here for thousands of years, but it's threatened by the effects of changing climate and water quality. We secured nearly $2 million to support researching and developing strategies to help conserve this important cultural resource for future generations. Conserving and protecting our natural resources and land continues to be a top priority for my administration. I'm also excited to announce tonight that I'm approving the largest forest conservation effort in our state's history. In partnership with the Biden administration and the Conservation Fund, we've approved the conservation easement for the Pelican River forest remaining acres to protect the forest for generations of future Wisconsinites to use and enjoy. This is a big deal, folks. Wisconsinites, this is the future we're building, and no matter where you live, you can see the results of our efforts. In Wisconsin today, a kid got ready for school and put on their favorite Milwaukee Brewers shirt. Because we worked together last year to keep Major League Baseball in Wisconsin through 2050, that kid can grow up, graduate, and start a family in Wisconsin, and they'll be able to take their kids out to the ball game where the Brewers will still be the home team. Today, a Wisconsinite tuning in from their TV at home is using electricity that is 100% solar powered and carbon free because we've approved enough solar projects across our state, 4,000 megawatts worth, to power more than 750,000 Wisconsin homes with average electricity usage for 365 days straight. In Wisconsin today, volunteer, EMS, and fire providers in Delavan are receiving increased stipends. Barron County has hired two new public safety officers. Peshtigo is purchasing new EMS equipment, and residents on the south side of Milwaukee.
The talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to scent season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10, on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM, WGBW.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Proud to announce that we now rank fourth in the country for successfully helping veterans find employment. We all have to be proud of that. Wisconsinites, this is the state of our state. This is the future we spent years working hard to build together. And let me be clear, these results and our accomplishments doesn't mean our work is finished. If anything, our progress demands our efforts to continue. There is, as always, more we can do. And that work begins in earnest here tonight. Let's start with PFAS. PFAS are a real threat to our kids, our families, our communities. These human-made chemicals can be toxic to humans and wildlife, and they've been used in everyday products for more than a half a century. In Wisconsin, where we hunt, fish, and want to trust the water coming from our tap, and where our economies rely upon water resources for livestock, crops, and outdoor recreation, PFAS are a threat to our way of life and our economy. That's why I directed $10 million into a new statewide program to help contaminants like PFAS out of our water supplies. I'm proud to report this program has helped replace or abandon nearly 500 contaminated water wells across Wisconsin. And after 5 years of calling for legislative action, we saw the first real and meaningful state investment to specifically address PFAS in our state's history last year. The legislature and I both approved a $125 million investment to start tackling PFAS across our state. That's great news. That's great news, but here's the rub. I signed that budget last July. Today's January 23rd. It's been over 200 days, and Republicans have not released 1 cent of that investment. A $125 million investment to fight PFAS statewide, sitting right here in Madison because Republicans refuse to release it. That's breathtaking. Republicans, please release this funding so that we can get it out to families, childcare facilities, schools, businesses, and communities across the state who need it. Another area where we must work together to do more and quickly, let's talk about mental health. I said here last year that I feared the state of mental health in Wisconsin was a quiet, burgeoning crisis, one I still believe will have cascading effects for generations if it goes unaddressed. So I declared 2023 the year of mental health in Wisconsin, and yes, we accomplished some important work together. We fought hard to secure another $30 million in this budget to build upon our successful Get Kids Ahead initiative to provide mental health services to every school district in Wisconsin. But I don't need to remind this legislature that I requested more than $500 million last year to help expand access to mental and behavioral health services statewide, only a fraction of which was approved. 1 year after declaring the year of mental health, I'll tell you tonight, as governor and as a grandfather, my concerns have not changed and my fears have not waned. Much work remains. The data have not improved. According to the latest report from the Office of Children's Health, Mental Health, kids continue to report highly concerning levels of anxiety, depression, self-harm, and suicidal thoughts. That's still especially true for teen girls, students of color, and LGBTQ kids. One-third of our high school kids still experience feelings of sadness and hopelessness nearly every day. About 1 in 10 teens have attempted suicide, and nearly half of LGBTQ youth seriously consider suicide. Today, 1 in 6 kids experience a serious episode of depression in 2023. Used to be 1 in 7. My administration and I are not going to let up on our work on this issue in 2024. We're going to double our efforts and take a whole of government approach. Tonight, I'm announcing I'm creating an interagency council on mental health and directing Wisconsin state agencies to work together to reduce barriers and address gaps in mental health services. We're going to develop a statewide mental health action plan to address the root causes of our mental health crisis, increase awareness and reduce stigma, and to build capacity for us to expand access to mental health services statewide. Our state's mental health challenges are very, very significant. Let's do more and urgently make a difference on this issue in 2024. We have to. And I'm optimistic we will, because our kids are leading the way. Students in Merrill are doing amazing work through a student-led program called Raise Your Voice. It's part of an effort led by NAMI Wisconsin to educate, support, and empower youth to talk openly about mental health. The program at Merrill High School began with just 8 kids, and then it grew. And these students have helped expand the program to other middle schools and high schools across the region with more than 200 members. Merrill's Raise Your Voice advisors and founding students are here in the gallery tonight. Please join me in recognizing them, and let's resolve tonight to do the work to support our kids. Where are they? Now, as we continue looking toward the important work we have to do before us in 2024, there are also good things on the horizon. We have important elections coming up this year, including one in November. It's been clear that I believe we should make it easier, not harder, for every eligible Wisconsinite to cast their ballot. And yes, I'll continue to veto any effort by politicians to abuse their power to interfere with our elections, just as I always have. In the coming weeks, I'll also be announcing new steps I'm directing my administration to take to help ensure every eligible Wisconsinite has the opportunity to participate in the most precious and fundamental function of our democracy, the right to vote.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A jury has awarded columnist E. Jean Carroll over $83 million in her defamation case against former President Trump. ABC legal contributor Kim Whaley says that Trump continued defaming Carroll even as the case proceeded.
He just continues to do that. That's the punitive part, punishing him for continuing to flout the prior jury's verdict, the judicial system, and frankly, Ms. Carroll's legal rights in this moment.
Mr. Trump is appealing Friday's judgment. Multiple sources familiar with negotiations on the emerging Senate border deal confirm that the soon-to-be-released bill will give the Department of Homeland Security the authority to shut down the border if migration numbers surge over a certain quantity. A local state of emergency in Wilmington, Illinois, with parts of the city evacuated due to rapidly rising river levels occurring from the melting ice jams that formed earlier this week. This is ABC News.
Badgers knocked down the Spartans. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Wisconsin sailed to an 81-66 win over Michigan State. A.J. Storr with 28 points. Head coach Greg Gard still battling that flu bug on his team's performance.
A lot of good things that I saw tonight. Really proud of our guys, of how they, you know, it's as close to a complete 40 minutes as we've had in a while. I thought individually Chucky, Max, and John were really good on Tyson Walker, who's a terrific player. And I thought Tyler and Gilmore did a good job on Malik Hall. And then obviously offensively, we shared the ball. We moved it, you know, to have only six turnovers. And obviously, AJ, the basket looked like the ocean to him.
NBA, the Bucks made it official. They have signed Doc Rivers to a contract, making him the next head coach. Interim head coach Joe Prunty on losing to the Cavaliers 112-110 at home at Fiserv Forum.
Good game, competitive, physical. Obviously, we came out on the wrong end of it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some drizzle or fog today. We'll see a high near 38 for tonight, a low near 31 under mostly cloudy skies. On Sunday, mostly cloudy and highs around 35. 36 with partly sunny skies for Monday. Chance of rain and snow on your Tuesday with a high near 36. Currently 33 degrees.
This is John Mino.
And I'm Jim Schmidt. And together we're Mino and the Mayor on the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM, weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
As our audience grows, we're looking to find an experienced outside marketing professional to join our civic media team to work with local business owners who want to grow.
Not only does WGBW reach qualified radio listeners, we help business owners reach customers on their mobile phones, tablets, even on screens at the gas pump.
The person who joins our team needs to be as motivated as we are to bring great local radio to Green Bay and Northeast Wisconsin. Someone with a creative streak and no fear of introducing themselves and us to the Green Bay business community.
If you're listening to us now, imagine how many others are and how we can help business owners reach the customers they want to do business with.
To apply, email me directly. My name is Chris Morrow, Vice President of Sales. My email address is chris.moreau@civicmedia.us. chris.moreau@civicmedia.us.
Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers. There are a lot.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are our efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah.
I
mean, we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't
know. Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local civic media radio station. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Badger Care Plus to serve as a prescription to over-the-counter to cover over-the-counter contraception, including emergency contraception. So here's how it will work. Once this contraception is out on the shelves, an individual on Badger Care Plus will be able to go to any pharmacy and pick up the contraception they need. The pharmacy will use DHS's standing order to process their insurance coverage. That individual will be able to leave the pharmacy with the medication they need at no out-of-pocket cost. Excuse me. There's also work that we can do together to support healthy moms, babies, and families across Wisconsin, especially as we celebrate Maternal Health Awareness Day. Pregnant women in Wisconsin up to certain income levels are eligible for Badger Care Plus for the term of their pregnancy and up to 60 days after they give birth. But as most people know, recovery time from pregnancy often lasts longer than 60 days. Today, a bipartisan bill, Senate Bill 110, introduced by Senators Bollwig and Filskowski, would enable Wisconsin to join 43 other states that already extend coverage to pregnant women for up to 365 days to birth. Tonight, I'm urging Republicans and Democrats to work together to get this bill across the finish line this session and to send it to my desk. We have to get this done, folks. This past year has shown there's much we can accomplish when we work together. Today, there are pressing issues that demand our work. Bridging partisan divide continues. I again call on the legislature to address what I believe are the two greatest challenges facing our state. The first, our decade-long struggle to retain, attract, and train talented workers to address our state's workforce shortages. And the second, the Republican majority's disinterest in working towards a meaningful bipartisan plan to do something about it. Folks, no isn't a workforce plan. Asking more kids to work in the workforce is not a workforce plan. Giving more big breaks to millionaires and billionaires is not a workforce plan. These are not serious proposals to address generational statewide issues. In April last year, our state unemployment rate hit a record low of 2.4%. Last year, Wisconsin had an all-time lowest number of unemployed workers ever in modern history. And our state's labor force participation rate also consistently remained above the national average throughout the year. So it's time we get rid of that old talking point that Wisconsinites aren't working or working hard. Wisconsinites work hard, and they are working. From my vantage point, three things are key to addressing our state's workforce challenges. First, we must find a long-term solution to our state's looming child care crisis. Second, we must expand paid family leave. And third, we must invest in public education at every level, early childhood to our technical colleges and universities. Wisconsin faces a looming child care crisis. Costs to working families are skyrocketing. We don't have enough child care providers, and the providers we have are struggling to keep the lights on. And the effects are intuitive. If a kid no longer has child care or a parent can't afford it, someone's going to have to stay home with them. Folks, lack of accessible, affordable child care is a statewide workforce issue. Without continued investments in child care counts, our workforce will suffer mightily. 2,110 child care programs are projected to close. 87,000 kids could be without child care. We could lose over 4,880 child care jobs. That's about $500 million of economic impact on our state. I introduced a comprehensive workforce plan to stabilize our child care industry and prevent its collapse. Republicans rejected it. So last fall, I directed $170 million in emergency funding to keep our child care industry afloat. I want to be clear, I directed that funding that I could, but it wasn't enough. Wisconsin child care providers will soon receive their final payment from the federally funded portion of child care counts. So the emergency $170 million I directed last fall as a stopgap measure now kicks in. Republicans are officially on the clock to make this meaningful investments necessary, to make the meaningful investments necessary to prevent the collapse of an industry that's essential for making our current levels of workforce participation. Wisconsin, we also need to expand paid family leave. I propose investing $240 million to jumpstart a program that would provide most private sector workers 12 weeks of paid leave. Republicans rejected my proposal, not once, but twice. Paid leave is the right thing to do for kids and their families, and it's also what we need to do to compete and keep talented workers. And yes, doing what's best for our kids is what's best for our state, and it's what's best for our families and our workforce too. So yes, we must invest in public education at every level, from early childhood to our technical colleges and our universities. Now, I will never expect Republicans and Democrats in this building to agree with each other, or me for that matter, on the merits of every policy 100% of the time. That's what democracy is about. But there's no excuse for not being willing to work together on what everybody agrees is the most pressing issue facing our state. I've introduced a comprehensive workforce plan twice. If anyone on either side of the aisle has a better plan than mine that not only prevents the collapse of our state's child care industry, but also helps us compete against our neighboring states for talent and invests in public education at every level to prepare our kids for the future, let's hear it. I will work with any legislator, any partner, any stakeholder who's willing to engage in meaningful conversations on these issues to do the right thing for Wisconsin. In the meantime, my administration will continue to pursue every pathway and seek every avenue to address our workforce challenges without legislative action, just as we have for 5 years. And we'll continue that work here tonight, making sure our workforce is prepared to meet the needs of a 21st century economy is a top priority for me. And my administration is going to lead by example. That's why tonight I'm declaring 2024 the year of the worker in Wisconsin. We are working in earnest to reduce barriers to employment so we can try to make sure every available worker can join our workforce. I directed over $150 million to find innovative long-term solutions to our workforce challenges, subsidize employment and skills training with local employers, and support Wisconsinites working to re-engage in our workforce. Because of that investment, we've been able to deliver workforce training and support services to more than 33,000 Wisconsinites across the state. I joined with the Wisconsin laborers about a year ago to announce Wisconsin had the highest participation rate in our registered apprenticeship program in two decades. In November, I celebrated National Apprenticeship Week and announced Wisconsin had reached an all-time record high number of participants in the registered apprenticeship program's 112-year history. How about that? There are also high-need areas of our workforce we need to bolster and support. According to the Department of Workforce Development, Wisconsin faces a potential deficit of 20,000 nurses by 2040. Between 2020 and 2030, Wisconsin's healthcare industry will see nearly 32,000 annual openings across occupations. So last year, my administration launched one of the country's first ever registered nurse apprenticeship pathways to help address the demand for workers. And we announced a new initiative to train over 10,000 certified direct care professionals to address our state's shortage of caregivers. But there's more that we have to do to address our healthcare industry's chronic challenges. Next week, I'll sign an executive order creating a new healthcare workforce task force focused on finding long-term solutions to our state's healthcare industry, and make recommendations for me to consider in my next biennial budget. We also know we must work to retain talented educators who work every day to do what's best for our kids. Recent estimates show that only 67% of new educators in Wisconsin make it past 5 years. So through the Department of Workforce Development, our administration is launching a new teacher apprenticeship pilot program with the Department of Public Instruction to provide more mentorship and support for new educators. And finally, as one of the largest employers in the state, my administration is also going to make sure the state of Wisconsin is leading the way by example with new efforts to recruit and retain talented workers in our state workforce. I'm also announcing tonight I'm creating a new Office of State Employee Engagement and Retention to improve retention, mentorship, and engagement of our state workers across all of our state agencies. Wisconsin, we've proven this past year that we can do big things, especially when we're willing to do them together. I know we can build upon these efforts in 2024, and together we will. Let's get back at it. Let's get to work. Thank you, and on Wisconsin. UW Marching Band, take it away.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Some days, my active psoriatic arthritis makes it hard to get in the game. Now, the ball is in my court, thanks to treating my skin and joints with SkyRizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults.
Nothing is everything.
SkyRizi helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue.
For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Women in Wisconsin, and also the creation of the Healthcare Workforce Task Force. And we remember last year when he declared 2023 the year of the mental health. This year, it's the year of the worker, and as we expected, there'll be quite a bit coming up in this next session, coming up in these last few weeks, about how to bolster Wisconsin's workforce, how to get people, people into jobs that don't already have them, and there aren't a whole lot. That's part of the problem. Unemployment is very low.
Oh, pardon me, help.
There
you
go.
Show my mic on up here in Green Bay. see, this is what I don't have my own engineer. I'm engineering myself. So up here in Green Bay.
Fair enough.
I apologize for that. But yeah, I mean, the governor pointed out it was 2.4% unemployment as of last year, one of the lowest, if not the lowest ever in the state's history. And anybody who has a small business, anybody who is a manager and trying to hire somebody right now, knows there is a workforce problem. And I think the governor, number one, is just good policy to invest in the workforce. But also, as we talked on this a little bit before the speech, it's great politics, particularly going into 2024, which is an election year for the state legislature, for federal congressional. There's going to be a U.S. Senate race for Tammy Baldwin's seat. She's running for re-election. No major announced Republican yet. And, of course, the presidential election. And I don't think it's a secret to anyone on either side of the aisle. When you talk in terms of working people, when you talk in terms of working class, that is a winner politically in the state of Wisconsin. So I think it's a win-win for Governor Evers because, as you said, it's good policy to do some of these things. It's needed, but it's also really good politics.
You mentioned the money for workforce housing in the past year, $500 million. Fixing the infrastructure. There was talk, of course, of the Black Dick Bridge, a very economically key bit of infrastructure in Wisconsin. It connects Wisconsin and Minnesota at a very critical point, one of the big ports in North America, the Duluth Superior Port. So that bridge is getting $1 billion makeover thanks to efforts, as he mentioned, Senator Tammy Baldwin. He gave a lot of credit for helping make that happen. And he's going to talk about it Thursday right here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, showing you the importance of Wisconsin in 2024, because Vice President Kamala Harris was in Waukesha County in Big Bend, talked about women's reproductive rights earlier this week on Monday. And now to round out the week, or at least towards it tomorrow, the president himself up in Superior, going on both ends of Wisconsin, going all over. And of course, it was that infrastructure bill. It was interesting from a political standpoint. There are Republicans in both Minnesota and Wisconsin in the congressional delegation that voted against that infrastructure bill. But of course, now they're all for it and trying to make hay as the president comes in and announces it. Again, infrastructure is popular with voters. We mentioned it before. The governor mentioned it tonight in his speech. His words, we're fixing the damn roads. You don't always want to see those orange barrels out in the road. But once it's done, very popular with Wisconsinites.
You're listening to Civic Media coverage of the State of the State Address. Terry Bell and Todd Alba with you. Want to thank our friends at PBS Wisconsin, Wisconsin Eye, and the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association with an assist on the audio tonight of the feed from the assembly. I think one of the more provocative things the governor mentioned tonight was the $125 million for PFAS cleanup that he says Republicans are holding up, even though it passed the state budget. This seems to be maybe one of the more contentious bits of politics still happening, even after, like I say, months after the budget was passed.
If I could take a second, Terry, to step back, I thought compared to past speeches by the governor, just one person's opinion, as a person who's seen a lot of these, I know you have as well, I thought, A, the governor looked fantastic. He had a sharp suit on. I believe the tie he was wearing was a gift from a former staffer who died in a tragic accident years ago. He's worn that tie before, I believe, on election night as well as last election. I thought he looked fantastic. I thought, look, we know Governor Evers, you know, he's not a Tommy Thompson, a fiery speaker, but I thought he did pretty well tonight for, mm-hmm. for who he is and what he is. And I also, compared to last year's speech, I thought, by and large, he mentioned bipartisanship and things that he had done together with the legislature more than in the past. What you bring up is the one exception to that. And we saw this again with DEI, Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and the University of Wisconsin system, where the funding for these pay raises had been approved by the legislature. Governor had signed them into law, but they were not released by this smaller committee of the legislature until they had this fight over DEI. Same thing with PFAS. Again, it was put in the budget. It's been signed into law, but Republicans aren't releasing it. And the governor, right in front of them, right to their face, called them out and literally asked them
to do
that.
Todd, I'll have to stop you right there. Yep. We're now about to hear from the Republican response, Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu.
At the moment, Senator.
While we get the senator.
All right, there we go.
Aligned. All right, Senator, go ahead.
Good evening. Today, Governor Evers highlighted a vision for the state that does not align with the reality of the state's financial picture. State spending is at an all-time high. Over this two-year budget cycle, Wisconsin state government will spend almost $44,000 per income taxpayer. Our K-12 schools are enjoying the highest level of funding in history. Local governments and the school choice program have recently gotten their largest increase in state support ever. The state budget included over $3 billion of investment in healthcare services, including increases for nursing homes, hospitals, mental health care. We heard from our constituents about the state of Wisconsin's infrastructure, so we invested $360 million in local roads and bridges as part of a $1.5 billion transportation budget. And we used one-time surplus money to pay cash for major projects to avoid costly borrowing. Workforce housing is a recurring issue for Wisconsin's middle class, so we invested $525 million in revolving loan funds to rehabilitate Wisconsin's aging housing stock, revitalize main streets, and incentivize the creation of new workforce housing. Republicans and Democrats worked together to keep the Milwaukee Brewers in Wisconsin for another generation of baseball fans. Wisconsin's priorities are fully funded, and yet the state still is projected to have a $4 billion surplus. That surplus should not be spent to further grow the size of government as the governor suggests, rather create new entitlement programs or even sit in a bank account in Madison earning interest. The surplus should be returned to the hardworking taxpayers who have given the state government more than their money than is necessary. The legislature released a plan today that would cut taxes for the middle class. It would exempt retirement income from state income taxes. It would increase the married couple credit, and it would increase the child and dependent care tax credit. Since he's been reelected, Governor Evers has consistently rebuked the legislature's attempts to cut taxes for the middle class. During budget deliberations, Governor Evers used his veto.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.